Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. It once again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show on the Blog Talk Radio Network, sponsored by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Bill Murray. I'll serve as your host this evening. I'm coming to you live from Los Angeles tonight, and I am myself an adult survivor of child abuse. Tonight, we're doing one of our Stop Child Abuse Now, or SCAN, shows, episode 2159, by the way, a call-in discussion show. That's the theme we're going to be using tonight, with a survivor professional and using an open mic forum. When we say survivor professional, our co-host this evening will be someone who is both a survivor of child abuse herself, plus every Thursday and Tuesday nights we have people who are what we call hyphenates. In some capacity, they also serve as a professional, but they're all survivors as well. So tonight's special co-host is Barbara Joy Hansen from Milford, Massachusetts. She is a child abuse survivor, and she's now a violence prevention expert. She writes books. One of her books, Listen to the Cry of the Child, is where she shares her personal journey. She and her husband work in prisons, homeless shelters, domestic violence conferences, and so forth, and they facilitate survivor support groups, one of which is called Beauty Out of the Ashes. Many of these members are former alcoholics or addicts. She has a lot of experience and information to offer, in other words, and we're delighted to have her. We'll get to her in just a moment. I need to introduce a couple of panelists and invite you, the listener, to call in, because as I said, this is a question and answer and a call-in discussion show. In other words, anyone who's out there can participate, as indeed they can participate in every show we do. All the shows we do, no matter what the format of the show, involve community participation. And the number to call in with is always the same number. It's 646-595-2118. 646-595-2118. Now, this phone number is dedicated only to the SCAN shows, and we do them every night except Saturday, although we do different formats different Saturdays. Days of the week, but every show, every night except Saturday, we do a show. So 646-595-2118. Please call in, and we'll bring you on the air. And these are just discussion shows. You yourself do not have to have any particular background, expertise, or anything like that. This is your opportunity to present a topic that you'd like to hear discussed, or specifically to ask a question of Barbara Joy Hansen to address, and she'll do her best to field anything that comes along. I know she'll do a terrific job. Tonight's panel includes at least two people that I want to introduce before we go to Bobby, the first of which is Carol Levine. Carol Levine is serving as my assistant tonight here, helping me out because of the trailer, and she has done, if you're familiar with NASCAR at all, you know Carol's voice very well. She's been doing this for years and years with me, and she's my sister in New Jersey. Carol, thanks very much for calling in tonight. Appreciate your being here.
Oh, I'm glad I'm here. Happy to help out, Bill, always.
I appreciate your being here. Carol, we also have Lisa with us from New York City. Again, this is another person that, if anyone's been listening for a while, they know Lisa very well. She's a consistent panelist on many of the shows, and a proof positive that you don't have to have any expertise or background, and we let anybody in. Right, Lisa?
Hey, Bill, don't quit your day job. And Carol, long time no see.
Right?
Everybody's
right.
A comedian. Anyway, no, I'm
not.
Looking forward to the, everybody. I'm looking forward to the show. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Lisa. And now, without further ado, again, I hope that some of you are out there will call in. I've posted the chat, the phone number in the chat room to remind anyone that goes in there. This is a call-in show, and it's a discussion. It's a general discussion. It might involve asking questions or presenting a topic on behalf of the community who's out there listening right now. Maybe there's something about child abuse and trauma, its recovery, intervention, or prevention that you would like to ask about. This is a perfect opportunity, and so please do call in, 646-595-2118. Now, let me reintroduce our special co-host tonight. All the Tuesday and Thursday shows feature someone who is both a survivor and in some capacity a professional, and we call them our co-hosts on those two nights. Tonight's co-host, and they all appear once a month, so you're here on the night that it's Barbara Joy Hansen, or Bobby Joy, from Milford, Massachusetts. She is herself a child abuse survivor, and now she's a violence prevention expert. Her book, Listen to the Cry of the Child, which is linked in the description of tonight's show, is where she shares her journey. She and her husband work in prisons, homeless shelters, domestic violence conferences, and so forth, and she facilitates a group called Beauty Out of the Ashes, also linked in tonight's show, and many members of that are former alcoholics or addicts. Barbara has a lot of information and expertise, and if you want to get in touch with her after the show, also linked in the show is a link to her Facebook page. Please feel free to contact her on Facebook, where she's quite active in the NASCA organization. So, without further ado, as I promised, Bobby Joy, thank you very much for being with us this evening.
Thank you, Bill. It's been a real tough week for me. We just drove home from New York State about 2 hours ago, after being there for about 5 days, opening up our summer cottage. But on Monday I received a disturbing, very traumatic Facebook from a college friend of ours from Letourneau University in Texas, where I met my husband, that one of my very best friends passed away with a brain tumor on Monday. And she and I go way back to our teenage years, growing up in Longview, Texas, in high school together. And she attended my dad's church. And just to get, she was a nurse, but just to get that news, I hadn't heard that she was even sick. So I don't even know that she knew, and I don't even know that it was, something that anybody else in the family knew. One of my college friends Facebooked me, messaged me, and said, did you know that Marge died? And I'm like, Marge, who? And then he told me who it was, and I was literally floored, like the rug pulled out. Because, you know, there's very few of us that have friends, that close friends, that we can tell anything to. And I call that kindred spirits. And you know, they're friends that are with you, for you, not against you, hear all your secrets, know everything about you, and still love you. And she was that kind of friend to me. So it was really difficult on Monday to get that news. Her son had committed suicide. She had two sons, one living right around the corner from her. And a few years ago, my book promoter, Bernice, and I went to a prison conference out in Portland, Oregon. Is it Portland, Washington? I think it's Portland, Oregon. And went to see her and spent a few days together. And we went to see Multnomah Falls. And she took us to dinner, and we had a wonderful time. But she didn't talk about her son's suicide very often, and that's another mental disorder that isn't addressed as often as it should be. My husband's father took his own life, so that came very close to home with me as well. And I don't know if anybody here on the show knows of someone that has either contemplated or gone through suicide, but it was like mud spread across the whole family. Every person in our family, including my husband, who shut down like a turtle for 30, 40 years, just like the trauma of sexual abuse can do.
We talk about suicide frequently on this show because the way I put it is often, unfortunately, suicide is the ultimate expression of childhood trauma for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
They can't take it and they kill themselves. So it's one of the worst, obviously, and it's final. We do talk about that a lot. And in between the commission, the thinking about it and the commission of it, there's an awful lot of what are called suicide ideations, where it's stronger than thinking. You're really contemplating it. You mull it over and over and over, and sometimes that goes on for years. And it may or may not result in an actual act being taking place, but there are huge consequences, emotional consequences and consequences of the kinds of choices you make and decisions you make and whether or not you're close to your family and on and on and on, even if you never do suicide. So, yes, we talk about it all the time. And we have members here who have had suicide attempts and others who have had suicide ideations. And certainly we all know people who have suicided. So, yeah, it's an issue now. I want to express first my condolences to you, obviously. What a
Thank
hard
you.
Thing to have a friend like that to have suddenly pass away.
Right. She was probably early 70s. A nurse, well-loved, very kind, compassionate. And we didn't talk often, but when we did, it was like we had never stopped talking. And she didn't call very often, maybe once a year or so. And thank you. I appreciate that because now I know I won't hear her voice again, but I will see her in heaven because I know she knew Christ, and now she's with her son. So I appreciate that, Bill.
No problem. I have another panelist I want to bring on here, Bobby Joy, before we get too far into it, to make sure she knows she's included, and that's Laura, or Lori, from Wisconsin. She's from Fond du Lac. I like that name. Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. So let me just welcome her to the show. Lori, thanks for calling in tonight.
Hi. Actually, the reason I called was because I was feeling suicidal today, and I thought this would be a good... As I was feeling suicidal today.
Oh, okay.
And
good.
I guess
glad
I was,
you're here. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad I called.
Well, I'm glad
you
called, too.
I'm glad you called. I'm sure Bobby is, too. Right, Bobby?
Yes, Lori. I am so glad that you called because everyone has a purpose, a God-given purpose, to discover with an absolute mission why we're born. Everyone thought I had the most perfect marriage with a white picket fence, and I didn't talk about things that traumatized me. I didn't deal with them for nearly 40 years. We have three beautiful sons. We had an adorable collie cocker mix. But no one wants to believe that a person they know would or could verbally or emotionally rape my soul. So I went through things that traumatized me severely. And you have to surround yourself with safe people and let everyone else go in order to cope. Survivors need advocates. We need to tell our stories. That's why NASCA is so important. You're in a very safe place here. So what you say and what you tell, people don't repeat each other's stories. You can tell mine because I'm a published author and speaker, and Beauty Out of Ashes support person with my support group. But, you know, we, especially family and friends, sometimes we have to leave the family that we have and, you know, have another family that is more prepared to help us in our healing process.
That's exactly what I had to do. I
Good.
Had to give up my blood family and go for people who really cared for me.
Amen.
And
you know, Bobby Joy started off the show by talking about an old friend of hers that it's most people don't have an old friend like this that she's known since teenage years and so forth, who she could talk about anything to and so forth. And I kind of disagreed with that statement. I didn't say it then, but I'll say it now. Because as you're saying, Bobby, you know, that's what we acquire here at NASCA. There's a lot of people here that could be that person. So it's not even a matter of the length of time that you have had with a person. Once you get to know one of us, you know, the connection is so strong. For example, Carol Levine, I can tell anything to Carol Levine. And whether she listens to it or not, that's a different story. But I can talk to her about anything, and I do, you know. And she's just a representative of many people. I think there's among us, you know, potentially hundreds of people for every one of us if we want to. But it's up to us. I mean, they don't just materialize. We kind of have to create the relationship, but it's not that hard is my point. And Lori, I agree with Bobby. You're in the right place. This is exactly what NASCA offers you. So many of us have to give up the relationship with the family that we were born into because that's a dangerous and a non-productive at best relationship. And the ones that we find here, which we call, you know, we call it the NASCA family, our NASCA family friends and relatives, you know, don't abandon us like that once we have a relationship with them. So I'm really delighted you're here. Lori, do you want to say anything about your ideation? What is it? Why is it that you're contemplating this? Or is there anything specific that's brought it to a head before we move forward?
In the past year, I've lost 3 friends to suicide. Today was the anniversary of one of them, and I felt alone, like nobody could understand.
Right.
And I'm dealing with past trauma that is coming back up in flashbacks and nightmares, and I felt like I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't fight anymore. And actually my friend goes, well, don't you have that radio line you can call? Well, yeah.
Thank God you did.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're here. And when we lose, I lost a friend on Monday, like Bill said, very, very close friend.
I'm so sorry.
From my teenage years. And I, like I said, when I started the show, she was a kindred spirit that I could tell anybody anything to. And so, you know, like I said, we all need someone to tell our stories to, and we all need someone to help us work through it. I certainly did. I was silent. I was isolated. I felt abandoned. I felt alone. I couldn't tell my secrets to, even though I grew up in a wonderful, godly Christian home with a mom and dad that adored me and my brother. But things happened to me with incest, with my grandfather, and clergy sex abuse like Bill's gone through, and, you know, on and on. But when you're broken, you don't have to stay broken. Miraculous healing can take place by recognizing, acknowledging, and affirming another person's suffering. So that's what we're doing to help you tonight. I'm glad you called.
That's right. We also, Bobby, have someone else from your area code. Now, I don't know who it is. They've not called in before, at least not often, because I keep a list of people that call in. But this person is from the 508 area. So let me see who it is. It might be a friend of yours. And
okay.
Welcome this person to the show. and then we'll go into
we'll
go to the panel because they've heard a lot of stuff, and I want to give both Carol and Lisa an opportunity here. But first of all, let me introduce. There's someone else calling in from the 508 area. This is Bill Murray. I'm the host tonight, and Bobby Joy Hansen, of course, is our co-host. Who is this, and where are you from, please?
It's Sissy McFadden, and I'm from the Milford area. I presently live on the Cape. I'm friends with Barbara. I went through her recovery program about 12 years ago. I actually recently dug up an old letter that she wrote on my behalf.
Wow.
It's a long story, but yeah, she actually helped me get my children back. I was just going through the whole
Well,
yeah,
Misty,
I found this letter, Barbara.
Hi, Sissy.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you called.
Yeah, I only have like 20 minutes, so I just wanted to support you. So go on. I'm just going to listen.
Thank you, Sissy. Actually, my husband and I took Sissy in. She was a very broken survivor. And you know, you can say what you want to, but I took her and her two children in to get away from a violent situation, Sissy.
He was psychotic.
Manic.
Yeah,
manic
and
depressed.
I was going through. Yeah.
Oh well, I am appreciative of your being here, Sissy. I apologize. I called you Missy before, Misty. But anyway, Sissy.
Oh, it's okay.
Thank you very much.
It's all right.
And you know,
welcome
we
very
want you
much.
Feel, we want you to
I'm
feel.
Glad you joined.
We want you to feel able to call in on any night, not just the nights that Bobby's here, but we do these shows 6 nights a week, of course. So please appreciate the fact that you can be here anytime you want, and we'll be happy to engage with you. All right, Bobby.
Okay.
Thank you. I promised to go to the panel, so let's do that first next because they've been patiently waiting and hearing haven't yet had an opportunity to chime in. So we'll go to Carol first and then Lisa, both panelists on us tonight, and then we'll go back to the rest of the group here. Carol, you haven't had a chance to speak very much tonight, so what would your comment be at this point in the show?
Well, first of all, I too want to say how sorry I am. It's very hard, you know. I have one friend that I grew up with in my later teenage years. She and I had gotten together in previous years, and then we got back together again. And I could pick the phone up tonight, even though I haven't spoken to her in a few years, and it would be like it was yesterday. So some of us are really lucky, you know, to have friends like that. And she went through her hard times, I went through my hard times, And we were both very suicidal and everything that you've spoken about. And I did suffer from suicidal ideations, and I did try to commit suicide once. So I can relate to all of that. And suicidal ideations is a horrible thing because you just sit there and you're like obsessed, if you will. Of how you could, you know, possibly kill yourself. And
with me, it was like everything became a potential harm to me.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in my world was, I was trying to figure out how I could hurt myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, she and I both were that way, and we would sit and talk about how we were going to do it, okay?
Wow.
And that would cover like pills or slicing. I have a scar on my wrist. She didn't actually go through it, and I would have, but I got one of my friends came flying in the house and saved me, pulled me up on my long blonde hair.
Thank goodness.
Well, I had quite a wild time of it, but you know, the point is, we are here. We are here to support each other. And, you know, when people call in who are suffering, you know, from suicidal ideations or who are terribly depressed right now, I'm very depressed right now because I have two children and they're both very sick. I can't believe it. All at the same time with different things. And one's going to be operated on in July and the other one, I don't know, she might be gone sooner. So, you know, I'm not going to talk about it. But the point is, life can, you know, be going along fine, and then all of a sudden, bang, you get hit with something, you know. And one thing that is so good about NASCA is you can call in, and you can certainly, you know, get the help that you need, you know, through NASCA. A lot of times just through talk. It's almost like talk therapy. And then also, too, we have people on tonight like Barbara Joe, or Joy, I'm sorry, who can, you know, help out in situations like this. She's going to her own depressive state now because of the loss of her friend. Life, you know, we're not guaranteed, like when we have our own children. We have our children, and there's no guarantee that they're going to outlive us, you know. We don't know how long any of us are going to be on this earth. We only know that we're here, and hopefully we have a good life, and we're helpful to others, and we do the right things in life. We make mistakes, and then you fix those mistakes if you can, and you move on, you know. So, but I'm very... Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, you said you were an author?
Yes, I am. I wrote Listen to the Cry of the Child. Mm-hmm. You can get a copy of it from me at bobbyjoyhanson@juno.com or call me at 508-473-1280, and you can get a personally signed copy from me. I sold 15 books at Walmart fundraising the last couple weekends ago, and there is so much trauma, as you know, in the world, and this is so needed to not only have written my memoir that Sissy has read and helped her in her healing, but it helped me move forward. I faced the clergy in 1999 with a sex abuse case. They set up the pastors in a church-run trial set up a committee of restoration for me and three others, pastors' kids that got violated at a Bible camp. And you can see the movie of my life, a four-minute movie, on my website, listentothecry.org, done in the Philippines by a film crew, Filipino actors. And I wrote my book in a week after 38 years of silence. I had it all in journals. I couldn't look at the journals for nearly 40 years. But when I knew I was going to start writing my book, I quit my nanny job. I took my husband for a walk, and I said, honey, I'm going to start writing my book tomorrow. And I had it written in a week, except for a couple of chapters towards the end.
Did you
want to remind everyone that's listening that we write a significant description of every episode. This is episode 2159, by the way. And the link for how to get in touch with Bobby, how to reach her website that she just talked about, and how to get her book, they're all in the description of tonight's show. We will, however, give out the phone number a little later, a second time, so you can write it down, because that was unexpected. We'll give it out in the middle of the show again, right, Bobby? So anybody can contact her. But the description, description.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if she might have had a question for me.
Well, I'll host the show. I got it.
Okay.
But I just want people that are out there to listen. To hear, I talk to the audience. The audience needs to know that there's a description of the show that they can find on tonight's date, and it's episode 2159. It has all the ingredients that you just talked about in it, so they're all linked there. And we will give out the phone number a little bit later, a second time. Did you want to I want to let Lisa from New York have a comment, and then we'll go back to our caller. Lisa, you haven't yet said anything about what's been discussed so far, and I want to give you that opportunity. So what would your comment be?
Well, a couple of things, Bill. When you were talking about the NASCA family and not being able to, I guess, depend or interact with your family or anyone's family when they're a survivor, it's funny. This is a topic that comes up on the show a lot, how family members can be so toxic, and we often talk about hard boundaries and soft boundaries and detaching with love and how to do that, and sometimes just detaching, not necessarily with love. And I think that's always a good subject show, particularly for folks who haven't heard us talking about it before. But I just wanted to make a comment about what Bobby George just said. Talk about people having a catalyst to write their book, and as you just described in your life, it brings to mind a story about how Carol wrote her book. She saw a description of a news show where apparently a judge let a pedophile walk free or got probation for molesting a three-year-old boy. And Carol got so angry. Yeah, she wrote a book in 28 days, and it was 214 pages. And if you do the math, she wrote 7.64 pages per day. But I'm sure she wrote it a lot faster than that. But I always find it interesting how folks on the show, they've been living in their trauma for years and years, and then something just drops
all
out
right.
of the sky. And they make a hairpin
right.
turn and write a book.
All right, but before we go to Lori, Carol's book is called Panic Child. Get in touch with Carol Levine if you're interested in that. It is a very good book. Let's ask Lori now. She's heard the comments that people have made. And as Bobby said, you may have an additional question or comment that you'd like to make, Lori. What would it be if you would like to add something?
I wanted to say that when I first went on the NASCAR show back in 2016, I shared with my family that I would be on the show, and absolutely, I lost my family that day because
I'm
I had
sorry.
Given away the family secrets.
Right.
So I was completely alone. I tried to get Bill to pull it from the roster, and he wouldn't do it. But, yeah, it was telling my story that, it was telling my story and telling the truth that my family didn't want to face.
Right.
So, now I just hold on to the people who care about me.
And you should.
Well, yeah, of course. Bobby, I'm shocked to hear this about Lori. I didn't know this had happened to her. All you needed to do was to come back, Lori, and let us know that this was going on. You would have found that, and we'll still do it right now, tonight, starting right now, surround you with the kind of relationships that you do need. Certainly, we'd like you to start posting a little more on Facebook and so forth so people know what's going on. See, we can't assume that people know what's happening to us. We have to actually be willing to kind of reveal it. It's the same thing as giving up the secrets of our abuse. Well, sometimes we try to keep secrets in our recovery too, and that's just as unhealthy. You know, we want you to find and establish relationships with friends out of the NASCAR organization, and we will surround you. We'll put our arms around you as a group. We want you. You know, we want you. We don't want to get rid of you. We want you to come on inside where it's nice. Right, Bobby?
Yes, it's a closed group, so none of your family can read that. So you don't have to be afraid of putting things out there. I read someone's today that is close to me that has gone through Beauty Out of Ashes. Right, Bill? And she put
right.
so much on there.
That's right.
And, yeah, I mean, what you're going through or what you've gone through is very normal for a very unnormal things that have happened to you. I've lost friends and family as well, but I'm a better person because I've risen above it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's multiple groups that we have, but the one that Bobby is talking about is the one where if you have stuff that you want to make sure never goes out to anybody else except fellow survivors, it's the closed group. And then we have a public one. I actually recommend people, Bobby, join both of them. But if they have, because the public one is a lot bigger, you'll see more posts perhaps. but respond in the closed group. In other words, let your voice be heard there where no one else except our members can see you. But belong to the public group, too, just because there's more opportunities for resources and other things that might interest you to be shared there. So you go to Facebook. It's very simple. Facebook.com/groups/NASCA. And that'll get you to the public group first and then the closed group after that. Join them both. That's my recommendation.
And I'm on Facebook every day, so.
There you go. Sissy, you're listening to the show, and I know you have to go soon. I want to give you another opportunity to make a comment if you'd like.
I'd rather let the other women.
Fine.
I just want to say that, I probably should say goodbye, but I love you all. And, Barbara, I'll be in touch. Keep up the good work. Good night.
Good night, Sissy.
Good night.
Love you.
Good night.
Good night, Sissy.
Call and join us again.
I will. Bye-bye.
Bye, hon.
Bye.
All right. That's Sissy from Massachusetts as well. Friend Bobby's and someone that she's been helped by. Bobby's been helpful to her. All right. So we move on now. Bobby, did you want to make an additional comment, or shall we go back to our panel, or how would you like to do it? What would you like to go next?
You've heard the cliche that states time heals all wounds. For a serious physical or emotional wounds, unfortunately, that's not true. Superficial wounds heal without medical attention, while emotional trauma, as you know, penetrates very, very deeply and can have the same effect in the soul as an infection does in the body. So when one person is offended by another, that person's soul sustains a deep wound, which becomes infected. And if not properly cared for, it goes, unsolved and unhealed. So, we need to talk about these kind of things because we won't heal if we isolate and close down. And as I did, we all did. We all separated from... I used to go in my bedroom and stay alone, and, things happened in my marriage that were shocking, the best thing that happened to me was, first of all, to have a spiritual awakening and an emotional healing as well. So
right.
I think we all need to, listen to that inner calm spirit that probably is very chaotic for a while, but we need to breathe. We need to listen to ourself. We can't help everybody. First of all, we have to take care of ourselves. We're the most important person in the whole wide world.
And I need to say that perhaps the least likely to be understanding, supportive, loving, might be our own family, especially if we were abused in the family. That's just simply not going to happen. There
right.
is a way of the family operates that may have gone on for generations before you got here, you, whoever's listening. And when you first share your story, if they are angry at you for telling the family secret, if they're pissed off at you for talking about Uncle George, if their reaction is, that's probably to be expected. But equally so, it's to be expected that those of us who are survivors, we already understand before you even say it, some of the issues that each other of us face. You will not be abandoned. In fact, you'll be invited to come in. You will not be disavowed. You will be appreciated as a member of the family. You will you'll be believed. Your feelings will be validated. On and on and on. Just the opposite of what you may get from your actual natural family. So it's not unusual. So and the other thing that's not unusual is, this sense of, I liked what you said to begin this. We don't often use that expression, but it's obviously one we all know, that time does not heal all wounds in our case. time, as time marches on, the wounds can get more and more festering. And they start in our childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they come into our adulthood. And then even when we're in recovery, the pattern of our behavior doesn't automatically change. And it's that pattern of behavior that we do to ourselves over and over and over again that sets up an awful lot of the consequences of adult symptoms of childhood trauma. Even in recovery, it comes back. It's still there, and it comes back. So this sense of feeling like nobody cares, feeling isolated and alone, knowing that there's something that I, quote, ought to share, unquote, but can't. In other words, keeping secrets in recovery. And it's very depressing when we have these kinds of constant thoughts and constant emotional states that and yet we know, as a lot of us know, that as soon as we start sharing, it'll start getting better. But we can't put ourselves there yet. And that's okay. I want to say to the person that's listening tonight, this is completely normal for us. And many, many of us will have the kinds of pattern of behavior that I'm describing here. And I'm sure that the panel just agrees tonight. And that may be, you know, a very unfortunate thing. And it is. But, again, we're not alone in this. This is a lot of the symptoms, Bobby, which we call trauma in adulthood, are shared symptoms. It's very common to find these amongst us. Not 100% of us have 100% of them, but there's so many, it's pretty much the universal thing that keeps us together.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that sometimes the family is the least. They'll walk around the elephant when the elephant is finally in the room. But for me, I was blessed that way to have my immediately mom and dad believe me. And I wrote my book, and they were ecstatic. I wasn't sure my father would be, because I thought he'd want to cut some things out, but my mother, but he wasn't. He was proud of me. But like a physical wound, soul wounds make us emotionally hypersensitive, which often leads to toxic relationships and causes explosive conflicts with many others. And, I mean, when I was fundraising at Walmart, a Marine vet, crippled, walked across I was outside Walmart, and he came over to me, and he stood there, and I gave him a little bit of my story, and he started weeping. And I said, did you go through this kind of sexual trauma that I did, and emotional? And he said, no, verbal, with my mother. My mother was horrible to me. She bullied me. I went through bullying in school. Now, he may have been crippled back then in school. I don't know. He was made fun of. But he said, then I went into the military as a Marine, and I was bullied even more. So a lot of it is caused by a mother or father that, you know, berates the son or curses the son, or, you know, you're an idiot, you're never going to amount to anything. Emotional impact on a son may affect him until his death. So, you know, and we talked about that, I think, one of the last times I was on the show. So this is how infected wounds in a child's heart grow. They're born. You're born into a family that's perhaps already abused. So you're born as an abused child. And if you're not healed, the infection grows many, many, many times into the adult years, manifesting many, many wounds.
Of course, we're talking about children who are abused in their own family. I wasn't, for example. But when I told my story, which was before I got into recovery, by the way, I told my parents my story when I was in my late 20s. They were so shocked. I was afraid they were going to, you know, have heart attacks.
Right.
So it affected them in a way. I stopped sharing in front of them. It's not that I stopped sharing. I stopped sharing in front of them, and that was deliberately so, because although they had not been my abusers, they still felt sort of responsible, and they also felt that it had happened to them, which it did in a way. So they were experiencing their own trauma,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't fix them, and I could barely help myself. So
right.
you may experience this kind of thing sort of a distance, and that, you know, I made a decision. Carol mentioned hard boundaries and soft boundaries. Hard boundaries might be deciding I'm never going to have anything to do with my family again. I can't afford that. Soft boundaries might be, well, I'll interact with them in certain ways, but in other ways I won't. Mm-hmm. And that's what I established with my mom and dad. I knew they loved me, but I also knew they were confused about what that meant and what it is that I needed. And, you know, I was there getting help from all kinds of other people. That's where I went for that help, not back to them. But I still participated in, you know, Thanksgiving and Easter and so forth and Christmas, you know. Mm-hmm. I did those kinds of things. So the degree to which you need to separate from your own family or community will be different depending on, you know, how you feel about the relationship that you might be able to continue. But there will always be NASCA family members for every one of the persons that are listening tonight. If you just come in and you have to introduce yourself, you can't just be there. You have to be active. And I think that's also true of recovery mm-hmm. in itself, Bobby. It doesn't just descend on us, does it? We have to work for it. And especially in the beginning of recovery, it's simply not easy. We understand that, but it's worth it. And it will be work.
Yeah, oh my goodness, you're right. I mean, when I wrote my book, I wrote it with courage and an intensity that I had never had before, but I wasn't healed. You know, when I started speaking about it, I still wasn't healed. I'd go to domestic violence and prison conferences and see people with battered, you know, eyes and wore sunglasses and learned that maybe they were a psychologist. But, it's a long journey out. And don't belittle yourself and don't berate yourself, Lori. It's, you know, just continue to hang in there and hang on. And I'm glad you called in because there's a whole lot of hope and trust. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I have set before you life and death. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live. So I want to give you that because we all have choices we can make every day. Good choices, bad choices, right choices, wrong choices, eternal choices, consequences for making the wrong choice. So, it's good that you called. You've got a safe family here, and you have let the other family go that don't understand, and they won't understand unless they've walked in your shoes. Correct, Bill?
Thank you very much.
I want to tell Lori she's a success already. She was here tonight. She came in tonight.
Yeah.
That was not expected. We didn't expect this. We didn't invite her. Mm-mm. She invited her. She talked herself into it, if you want to say it that way. You know, she let herself call. She said, you know what? I should call. I'm not going to say should anymore. I'm going to call. And she stopped saying should. And she did. And what that also means is if it was 2016 when she did the show that her family's angry about, she nonetheless has hung around and is getting something out of this. Now, she might have withdrawn, and I think that's what happened. But
mm-hmm.
as you can see, Lori, as soon as you show up, the solution starts to present itself. We're here for you, and we'll always be here for you. So I hope you're getting that sense, Lori. And go ahead and make any comment you'd like to about, what's happening in tonight's show, Lori.
Earlier on, you hit the nail on the head and you said that, you know, we have secrets in our recovery that need to be told. I'm struggling with the secret that we need, you know, to tell. And now I have the courage to go to my therapist tomorrow and say, we need to talk about this.
Mm-hmm. You know how hard it is to pick up the phone?
I don't think I would do it.
But you
Pardon?
Did it. I said, you know how hard it is to pick up the phone and call? But you did it. So you had courage tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud of you.
Right. She's already a success. That's the point I want you to hear. Lori, you're already a success. You're making a step in the right direction by making
right.
this call I don't know what else you'll say on the show tonight. It's all a success. Tomorrow, if you show up and you actually get honest with your therapist, this is something I've been hiding from you for a while that really ought to be talked about, you'll be a success. You know, it's all about making progress, not about becoming perfect, remember, but about making progress. And that's what you've done tonight. So congratulations, and God bless you. We love you. Of course, you're always going to be welcome with your natural family here, Lori. Sure.
Do you feel better now, Lori, a little bit?
Yeah, actually, I do. I don't feel as suicidal as I did when I picked up the phone.
Praise God.
Yep.
I would love for you to
do anything stupid.
What's that?
I'm not going to do anything stupid.
Good. I would love for you to connect to me on Facebook or my email address.
Love that.
Yeah. Reach out to me. There's a lot there on my Facebook account, and email me. I'll send you some of my links.
Yeah, that would be great.
I'm
in the reading, and
I promised to do this, so let's do it again. Lori, do you have a pencil, or are you ready to write down an email address and a phone number? If so, we'll ask, tell us when you're ready. We'll ask Bobby Joy to repeat both her email address and her phone number, which she gave out earlier tonight, and that way we'll make sure that people can connect with her. And you can write to her, and she'll give you back her profile name on Facebook and so forth and her, all that. So, Lori, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, it's
Bobby
Joy,
would you slowly give your email and your phone number out, please?
Sure. It's small case letters, Bobby, B-O-B-B-I-E, J-O-Y, H-A-N-S-E-N, Bobby Joy Hansen, at JUNO.com. Got it?
Okay. Yep.
And my phone number, you may not always get me because I have two fundraisers the next 2 days, but you will get me, so email me. My phone number is 508-473-1280. And I live in Massachusetts. 508-473-1280.
Okay, I will probably email you once we're done with this.
Good.
Sure, but the point is, she actually does. If you call her, leave a message. She actually calls you back when I bother her. She calls me back. So, and you'll find, by the way, you'll find an awful lot of people who have their phone numbers and email addresses on the NASCA website. Carol, I know, who's going to call on next. Principal sharer on the contact list as a night owl because she's up through the middle of the night. You can call her anytime. She's also in the East Coast of New Jersey. But the point is there are dozens and dozens and dozens of people who already put their phone numbers and email addresses either on the contact list or the primary volunteer list or the ambassador list. You can call any of them you want anytime. That's why their numbers are there. Let me ask Carol to speak to this issue since she's still here and I just mentioned her name. Your ears are probably burning, Carol.
Not really. I was falling asleep. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. not that anyone's boring here. I've been having some rough times because of health issues with my kids. All right. I'm up all night, just basically all night. Last night, I did not get to bed until around 6 o'clock this morning, okay? I've been trying to do a lot better than that. I try to get to bed by 3. It's not uncommon for me to, it's not uncommon to me at all. That's why I'm the night owl, to get, you know, phone calls that come in. And many times I don't even know where they came from. I'll say, who referred you? And they'll say, a friend. Did you get it off the contact list? No. It can be anywhere from alcohol abuse to child abuse to any types of abuses, domestic violence. I work a lot with that. But anyway, the point is that, by the way, Lisa, my book is 314 pages long. So
yeah.
You
yeah,
can do the math on that one.
Hey, man, I'm deaf. I thought you said 214. Sorry. I'll
do
the math
on that one. Yeah, go ahead. I was laughing at that. But anyway, the point is, that's what we're here for. We're here. I'm so thankful that you called in tonight. People call in when they're feeling very low, when they're feeling depressed, and also, too, when they're happy. You know, we're here. We're here 6 nights a week, okay? 6 nights a week, and the only time that we switch the days is when the football playing is going on. I'm not into football, but when you know that's the only time we'll have it on a Saturday instead of a Sunday. We're here Christmas, we're here New Year's Eve. Every day we're here, except for one day, and that's Saturday usually. Okay, so there's no way that you know, the way that you're calling in now. It's how you would call any time, okay? This is the time that you would call in. And I'm very happy that you called in. A lot of us go through terrible depression. I've gotten basically mostly over it. I can fall back. I can slide back. And what I do when I get like that is I immediately get out of the surrounding that I'm in where I'm very depressed. It could be the house. It could be someone's house. It could be in the car. It could be whatever it is. And I immediately go busy myself with something else. And it's not easy to do, but I do it. Or many times I'll go and check on people that I have worked with in the domestic violence areas.
Let me speak to that for a moment, Carol, because, you know, once we start to talk ourselves out of doing the appropriate stuff, it starts to pile on. We feel a little more and a little more and a little more sort of guilty about it. Oh, I should be doing this and I ought to do that. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm not willing to do it. And the more we do that, the more the guilt sort of builds. So the best thing to do is to stay active all the time. Then there's very little you have to catch up on. And, you know, you have no sense of having a bend. Now, I'm not saying this will happen. I do it to myself, okay, still today. There will be something that I want to share, and I can't for a few days, and I get depressed over it. But then I tend to snap out of it fairly quickly, and I call someone, I bother them, which there's no bother to them. I've never had somebody say to me, what are you calling me for? I can't help. Never heard that. Never heard somebody say, well, you know, I don't care. You know, why are you calling me? I never heard that once in 35 years, right? But the problem is that if we don't stay active, it's easy for our sort of our problem, our disease, if you want to call it that, our symptoms to come back. They come roaring back if we let them, and we don't want to let them. We want to keep them in check and do the right thing. Bobby, I have another friend of ours who we know quite well, Steve McNally from New Jersey. I want to acknowledge that he's here. Open his mic and let you know, Bobby, that he's here too.
Okay.
Steve, I think you've been listening to the show and now you've called in, but I want to make sure you understand what we're talking about before I ask you to share. Are you okay, Steve?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I've been listening for about a half an hour, a little more than a half an hour. So, yeah.
All right.
This stuff
All right.
is
well,
right on point for me.
We do have a panelist. Of Lori from Wisconsin, who has called in, and she shared that she was on our show in 2016, did a show, and then her family found out about it, and when they heard the show, they kind of abandoned her, and drove her away, and I'm delighted that she called in tonight because I didn't really know that it happened to her, and yet she's been having a lot of suicidal ideations and thinking. And it's become very powerful. Now, she's already shared just a short while ago with Bobby Joy, our co-host, that feeling has subsided just because she called in. And I guess that's what we're talking about. The activity really does matter. Just because we've, you know, started on a recovery journey doesn't mean it's going to stay constant. In fact, it won't stay. I can guarantee it won't stay constant. You have to work at it. So, Steve, did you hear that part of the conversation? Did you want to make a comment?
Yeah, I did. And, I like what you and Carol both said about depression because, that's the baseline I'll go back to. if I don't take active steps not to be there. And that's part of why I called it. I mean, I was just going to listen, and I very much identify with the whole thing of, you know, it's very easy for me, at least, to get complacent, get busy with just everyday life stuff. And, you know, I've said it before, this time of day isn't great for me to call in. Right now I'm walking back from the train. I picked some work. But
right.
Doesn't mean I can't call in while I'm walking, you know, and just the motion thing. Walking, exercise, the whole thing of just going against my tendencies to want to isolate and, you know, minimize stuff.
I like what you're saying, Bobby. One of the things that he's sharing with us is that you don't have to be in a bad place to start this behavior of, you know, pulling back. You can be in a good place and say to yourself, convince yourself, well, I don't really need it. You know, I've been here, you know, I'm okay. But why should I engage again? You know, and that can be the catalyst for what begins a process that ends you up in depression. I haven't called in so long, nobody will even remember me. That kind of thinking, right, Bobby?
I mean,
oh, you asking me a question? You asking
Bobby.
This?
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. Of course. I'm in awe that people are so free to share from their spirits and their hearts and their souls. We've all felt abandoned, not only by family, but mm-hmm. we've all felt perhaps abandoned by God. And so we
right.
just need to open our minds, our hearts, our souls, our spirits to Him. You've heard of the dark night of the soul. But sometimes that's a warning or a weaning or the time of a gift to us to give that to us and have us look inside and see, you know, take the Band-Aid off, let the pus come out, let the wounds surface. If God gives us the dark night to test us, therefore He can increase our faith. Then we might, you know, then what we must do within the darkness is that we need to believe and just trust Him. Because prayer, even if you can't pray, you can just say, Jesus. Or, you know, it's a similar thing to increase our faith is to pray. Prayer is an act of faith. So even if you can't pray, just say His name and He'll lift. It says in Scripture, demons will flee at the name of Jesus. And so, because they recognize Jesus. So if we keep praying through the dark night, instead of being silent and invisible and isolating, He'll hear us. He'll hear that prayer. So just reach out as you have tonight, Lori. And sometimes we feel abandoned by God and others, and that's part of our journey, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
I want to say something to Lori, okay? We have mentioned, and Lisa brought it up earlier too, because we do speak a lot about this, about toxic relationships, okay? When I wrote my book, I didn't know who I was going to offend, excuse me, in my family when I wrote that book. And I, you know what? I didn't care, and I'll tell you why. Because we are all each given our lives to live. And if people have sexually abused us physically, mentally, emotionally, neglect, I went through all of that. And you know what? I finally, when that little boy up there in Vermont, and he only got probation by that judge, that just flipped something out in my brain because I was one of 14 girls in New York and Staten Island that had gotten raped, kidnapped and raped. And that guy only got 3 years. So I guess the two of them just made me flip, and I had to write my book. I wrote my memoirs.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea of it is this. Many of us write books, so we get into music, or I was always into music anyway, but or into art or whatever it might be, okay? And that's
okay.
We find solace in that, though, Bill. We do. We find comfort.
Right.
Is what I'm trying to say.
The basic problem is that we keep secrets as a rule. And we do start that in childhood, and it continues in adulthood. And the basic way to overcome the keeping of secrets is to be as honest as you can. There's lots of paths to that, including writing, including going on a radio show, including going to a therapist, joining a Facebook group. There's lots and lots. And they're all steps in the right direction. But I want to go back to the theme that Bobby Joy had presented just now, because we didn't comment on that. And I made a comment on Facebook earlier today. It's actually, I think Bobby was in the same, she was in the same discussion I was with somebody who was suffering. And I made the point that, you know, God didn't abandon me. I walked away from him at a certain point. And I found out that God was, as soon as I wanted him, he was there again. So that's my perception, and it's only my perception. And I'm, by the way of saying God, you can use the word G-O-D for, you know, whatever you want, any kind of religious experience, any kind of spiritual experience or non-spiritual experience. The good orderly direction, some people say, is how they write out the word G-O-D. It stands for good orderly direction. I don't know. Whatever helps. The point is that I have discovered personally that God didn't abandon me.
Man.
I was pissed off at
God. Shit, really bad, you guys. You guys, hold on. No, I'm going to get on a radio show. There's no toilet paper. Jesus Christ.
You're on a radio show.
I fucked the ass on. They were like, they pretty much just came
in
my ass.
Carol,
really.
Who was that?
I can't. I mean, just shitting all over my chest.
Who is that?
Oh, Henry, you know how this is. Like, Carl is ridiculous.
Okay.
Turn
especially
them off.
Diarrhea. It was horrible. The shit.
I don't know.
Turn them off, Bill.
They shot cum all over my face. I was just like,
there's
what the hell? How come there's so much cum coming out of my asshole? And I was...
Thank you.
Well, I
where
didn't
that
even
came
know that.
From?
Tommy from San Diego. Carol must have added him. I didn't know he was here. Anyway. That's an unfriendly voice.
That should be really bad.
And they're gone. Okay, not only are they muted.
Oh, shit.
No, they're gone. I hung up on them. Okay,
good.
So that's somebody that obviously, did you add them, Carol, or did they know how to add themselves?
No. I opened them because I didn't recognize the area code. And it's good. I'm glad he's here.
No, he's gone.
No, he's gone that fast. Holy Christopher, that's what you're talking about.
I scrolled up.
Okay.
It's somebody that was trying to, you know, to mess around with the show. I hung up on him. And I will do that to anybody that doesn't behave. Okay, Bobby, back to you. The comment I was making about God's, you know, abandoning us, perhaps.
And, you know, we all have our own way of recovery, like you said, and the best thing I really did in my life was, as you already know, because you just got my book, or maybe you haven't had a chance to read it yet, but the best thing that I did was to face my past, to face myself, to face all those secrets, to deal with them, to not shove them anymore. Nobody knew anything about what I had gone through in my marriage, and nobody knew the secrets from my childhood, and you know, like our friend Carol has gone through all kinds of things like I have as well. And if you keep those inside, you're going to die unhappy, full of hate, full of bitterness, full of, you know, trauma, PTSD, all those things, isolated, fearful, seething with revenge. I don't know if you've all gone through a bitterness. Usually you do when you've had post-traumatic stress disorder and you're left with anxiety and you feel alone and isolated and fearful. But bitterness grows. It's a root. It's a bulb that grows. It's like a flower that you have to pick the weeds out of the garden. And it grows in our hearts and our minds, and it's hard to pull up those weeds in the bulb that grows. And it holds on to our soul. So it says, and I keep going back to a scripture is Hebrews 12:15, no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So bitterness brings unresolved poisons around everybody. And until you deal with it, and how you can deal with it, it's how do you cut it out? It's you forgive too quickly. I did that. I forgave my husband for cheating on me way too quickly before I worked through my grief. We all need to grieve all of our traumas. And that's what I did when I wrote my book. I couldn't stop grieving trauma after trauma, PTSD severe. And then you start to understand yourself, how you dig deep, you cut away, you get those weeds out of the garden, you clear the emotional baggage and you admit it and let it go. And that's the only way you can do it. Sometimes you need to make amends with those you've hurt. Or maybe you need to go back, which I had to do, go back to some of the people that hurt me and tell them what they did to hurt me. And that really helped. They didn't understand, you know, and sometimes that's not always good, but, and like we've said tonight, you need to detach from those that are trying to control you, because those are very toxic, unhealthy relationships. Things that hinder your healing process, we need to let go of. Unhealthy relationships or habits. I was codependent, as most of us that have been abused have been. And but that was my journey. That was part of my healing, is the codependency. Reaching out, rescuing, which didn't help the people that I was trying to help until I let go of them and looked inside. And I was just as stinking as as they were. I was just as messed up. I, you know, I didn't go to prison, but they were in prison,
right,
in and out.
Right.
So, yeah,
right,
that's part of it.
You know, before this fellow jumped in and interrupted our show, I was about to make a point, and I was going to specifically make it for those who are out there who don't have a belief in God, and that's perfectly okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to you what your journey is going to be. But I was going to say that, nonetheless, all the other things that we talked about tonight and we'll continue to talk about tonight become useful in your journey. Certainly the giving up of the secret, the establishing relationships with people you can trust, the joining, you know, using a variety of tools, not just one thing one time, but a consistency with showing up and participating and so forth. These things are independent of whether whatever higher power you might or might not have, whether you're an agnostic or an atheist, doesn't matter. We're still here, and we love you. We love each other anyway. We see that as, you know, as not a bar to the relationships that we can have and how we can help each other. Except for, of course, in the case of Steve McNally, which we wish he would start getting on a horse again. Right, Steve?
I'm here, galloping away.
All right.
And I was worried about my mic being muted so you wouldn't hear my microwave. That was an interesting call
you're
before.
Fine. You're fine.
Yeah.
We have the mics open on our end, so we appreciate it if you self-mute anybody that's out there. But that fellow that came in, he just slipped through the cracks, and we apologize. Lisa from New York, let me go to you for a comment, if you'd like. You haven't been on the air for a bit.
You know, Bill, I think I'm going to just listen in tonight because, I mean, I can't really – I'm really tired. I had a tough day, so I'm going to just listen for the rest of this show, but thank you.
Not a problem. I just want to make sure you knew you were included. So, Lori, let's go back to you. Any comment you'd like to make about what you've heard in the last little while?
First of all, the interruption we had, I just have to mention that really triggered me.
Oh, that fellow that called in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just triggered
Triggers are very intense and they're crippling. So,
Lori, go ahead and explain how it affected you, if you would. This is, again, for the listener.
Pardon?
I thought you wanted to explain how it triggered you. And if you do so, it'll help the listener, perhaps. Let me say, he slipped through the cracks. We don't have a lot of that happening. It does rarely happen. It used to happen more. But there are other protections that Block Talk Radio has provided for us, and we've been able to, we're a little more experienced now with how to do the show. But anyway, we apologize for him And it does trigger you. Lori, what would you like to say about what happened with you while you were listening to that? Because you were in a good place until you heard it.
He came on, and when he started speaking, it was like it brought back memories of what my parents would say to me.
I see.
And
sure. Well,
sorry.
That's okay. You take your time, and we understand, believe me. Bobby Joy, you started to talk about triggers in general, so I'm not shocked to hear that if she was used to hearing that from her parents, that this would have brought that back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that he called, because I was shocked. This is a radio show for people that are trying to get healthy and then have somebody say swear words and talk about toilet paper and all that stuff. It was shocking to me, but I guess Bill's not too shocked by people calling like that because it's a call-in number. But I'm sorry that happened to you, Lori. But you know what? He is out of the picture now. He's gone. And triggers are very intense, and they're crippling. I certainly have gone through them, not as often now as I used to. But they can happen when you're in the grocery store. You see somebody that looks like the person that molested you, or, you know, you can be anywhere. And even a glance or a smell, or like you heard tonight, that brought a trigger to you. So even with long years of therapy or reading self-help books or going to your therapist or journaling, sometimes it goes off. So it's normal in a very unnormal situation that you've gone through. And I don't know all the things that you or any of the things that you've gone through, but I'm glad that you are here, and I'm glad that you're hearing. Some of us are a little bit further down the road than you are, and we're willing to take your hand and help you reach up and go forward and get out of this valley that you are that you have been in.
Thank you.
Blog Talk Radio used to have groups of people who would come in as a group, and they would. It's called being a troll. That fellow didn't do anything to you personally, Lori. He's just looking for a way to be a troublemaker, period.
Yeah.
But, you know, in doing so, he affects those that are here for the right reason. Anyway, they called them trolls. We call them trolls. And they used to come in a group, and they would all of a sudden invade the show. And I'd have to, as a newer, you know, host, I'd have to scramble around and try and figure out who's talking to where and how do I turn their mics off. And it was horrible. It doesn't happen that often anymore, but it does happen. It can happen. And, you know, we're obviously keen to that and do protect our audience as best we can. Tonight we made a little mistake. It only lasted, by the way, 30 seconds, but it was a hell of a 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So can I ask Lori a question? I would like to ask you, and if you feel comfortable, telling a little bit about your parents. Was it verbal abuse that they put on you?
It was. It was verbal, sexual, physical, and satanic rituals.
My goodness.
Now, Lori, I have a record of the last time you were here, of course. You know what I would suggest? I'd suggest you come back and tell your story again. I don't think you should keep, in other words, the fact that your family is angry at you away from your own recovery. You've already told the story once. Mm-hmm. They know that you're out there talking about it. But for your sake, I keep telling it, because the more you tell it, the less power it has over you. And so I would offer you the opportunity to come back and do a second special guest appearance on our show and we will honor you with being a returning member of the NASCA family if you do so. How does that sound to you?
I would love to do that.
So all you need to do is let me know.
I missed my last one because I was sick, but
right. So all you need to do is tell me what date you would like to do it, and you know where our website is at NASCA.org. In the current schedule there, there are dates that are blocked out in gray. They say not yet booked. And starting in middle of July we have right now. So it won't be for a little while. But you book the show with me soon because, we book that far in advance. And we'll get it all ready. And in the meantime, welcome back to your NASCA family. We love you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Lori, I want to say something. I'm sorry I didn't recognize that area code, and that's how that got through. But, you know, today I laugh at those people, okay? No matter how down I was in the past, I've grown so much, thankfully, on my journey. I call it the healing journey. Mm-hmm. And today when people like that come through, I just laugh my ass off at them because this is how psychos, okay? And the day will come when, if it ever happens again, and it could, you just never know. But you'll laugh till you just think of them, they're assholes, excuse my French. But, that's the way it is, okay? This is an open mic talk show, and you don't know who you're going to get. So I didn't realize he was an idiot. So, but anyway, everything that's been said here tonight, I think, was really, really, very good. It's for people who are just starting on their healing journey. You are going to go through a lot of days where you're going to have ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. But I can promise you that if you're seeing a therapist and you get the help that you need, your days will be further and further apart where it's bad. You'll have more good days than bad days, okay? And that's one thing that we can't say. Just make sure that they understand child abuse, all right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's a little, they have to understand that. And someday you'll be as loud and noisy as I am, and Lisa, and others. And you'll be much happier. No. I'm sorry, that guy blew me away. He just makes me, I just want to go punch him in the head or something. But anyway, I was very, very down where you were. We all start at the bottom. This is how it happens. And certainly Barbara Joy, she can tell you the same thing. This is what happens. And but as time goes by, and if you have a really good therapist, and you have the NASCA family here, and if you need to talk, we are available, okay? I've been on the show for, 10 years, Bill, something like that. He's the CEO, vice president. And it's been a long time, so you can always call us, okay, when you're feeling down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you can certainly call. You have Barbara Joy's telephone number and everything. So that's good.
Mm-hmm. I have a... I have a chapter in my Beauty Out of Ashes support group on ritualistic abuse, and it covers every kind of abuse that you can even imagine in my Beauty Out of Ashes. So we'll talk, and you'll get a chance to, get to know me a little bit more when you can see some more of my podcast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, Lori, before you go off the air, I'm writing you a very short thing. I want you to look at the current schedule on the website and pick a date and then get back to me by email. Is your email address still including the number 76?
Yes.
Okay, then it's on its way to you. And just get back to me and we'll hook you up. Tonight's show has been terrific, by the way, folks. We're coming to the end of it now. We have about 5 minutes left, 6 minutes left. So there is time for a couple of comments here. But I did want to say that this has been a special episode because unexpectedly we had someone who was really originally in pretty dire straits when she first called in. Bobby Joy had shared that she had a friend that had committed suicide and her thinking and feeling about that at the very beginning of the show. And that spurred Lori to call in and share with us that she was in that place right now and pretty desperate. She's not that way anymore. Part of the reason for that is she's heard an awful lot of positive material tonight, an awful lot of offers of friendship and of reaching out to her, including that we'd love to have her reappear on the NASCA show perhaps in July or so forth. When she finds an open date that's good for her, she'll let me know, and she'll be booked at that point. And I still have, obviously, Lori, the record of the last time you appeared. So you won't even have to give me much new information. I just want to verify things are accurate and perhaps get an update. But other than that, you'll be all set to go. I am having one person call. I think it's Steve again. Yes, it is. Steve McNally dropped off for a moment. I'll bring him back. Steve, you're back on the show. I saw you drop off and come back. We're down to the end here. Did you have a final comment you wanted to make?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Lori for calling because it helped me. I wasn't going to call in, but, you know, what she said when I started listening, the whole thing of, like, you know, drifting away from NASCA and, you know, just how you can get in a bad place with not keeping recovery a priority, it definitely helped me. Definitely helped me. And just, you know, you readdressing that call too, you know, to me, that wasn't even just the content of it. It was like, you know, how dare somebody violate our safe place here? You know, so thanks for addressing that.
Right, exactly. We want this to be a safe place. We work hard at making this safe place. We're not perfect, but we do a pretty good job. And, you know, we've done 2,700 shows. By the way, I need to remind people that we now can be found on the Apple Podcast system. If you have Apple Podcasts, you'll find NASCA all our shows there. Plus, on the Google Podcast system, if you don't have an iPhone or an Apple product, you can go to the Google system instead, and we're there as well. And so we have extra platforms now where all our shows are available, and we want about this now, because these are brand new things brought to us by Dwight Hirsch, who's a wonderful NASCA member from North Carolina. He did the work on getting it up to the Apple platform. So, and secondly, I do want to also start to mention, and I'll only do this occasionally, that the Script Conference that Deborah Warner leads and that NASCA is a partner in, which is a wonderful conference, and you can find the information on it, thescriptconference.com. That's going to be the end of July, and we want to start letting people know, reminding them. It's been going on annually for a number of years. We've always been there. I will appear again. Deborah Warnock, obviously, will be there, and there will be numerous NASCA members here in Los Angeles for a free day-long event that's a wonderful event, completely free, at a wonderful venue. And it lasts all day long. It's from morning till the evening till nighttime, and till like 5, all day. And everything in it is free except lunch. But they have a wonderful, inexpensive place to buy yourself a sandwich or a lunch right in the facility. It's at the California Endowment for the Arts. It's going to be in the end of July. Look at thescriptconference.com to see the schedule. All right, let me go back to our fellow tonight to give us some wrap-up thoughts. We only have a few minutes left, as I said, so but I want to give you the opportunity to share whatever you'd like here at the end, Bobby.
I usually close with a song, so this is very short. And this is particularly for Lori and others that are listening, but for Lori. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, afflicted, sick, or lame, for the Spirit of the Lord is still the same. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name.
Wow. Well, I got the 90-second warning. That was perfectly timed. Thank you so much, Bobby Joy. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to ask you to finish every show with a little song. One that length.
Okay.
All right. This is Bill Murray in Los Angeles. I want to thank Carol, Lisa, Lori, Steve, and, of course, Bobby Joy, our co-host tonight, and also Bobby's friend, Sissy, who called me briefly, for being here. And I want to admonish the fellow that thought he was going to be a problem for us. He's not a problem. He's small fries, small potatoes.
That's right.
That's the way it happens occasionally. We're here 6 nights a week, every night except Saturday. Please join us whenever you can for different topics and different themes, but always solution-oriented folks gathered every night except Saturday, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, 6 Mountain, and 5 Pacific in the same place and using the same call-in number. This is Bill Murray. I'm in Los Angeles saying tonight, God bless you and the children of the world, and God bless adult survivors of child abuse.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You are forgotten after all that you've done.
Blog Talk Radio.